Again, thank you for being here. We want to go to the Word of God now and be encouraged from the Word of God. We will mention that our lesson has been changed, as you noticed, Brother Rico, when he read the scripture, that he read a different scripture from the one that is in our bulletin. The bulletin had already been printed, processed before Friday, and some things happened on Friday and just led us to change our lesson for this morning. And what happened on Friday, if you were listening to the news, you have heard about the ruling that has come down from the Supreme Court. As Christians, of course, as Brother James even prayed in his prayer this morning, we must stand firm on the Word of God. We have a Supreme God that we must answer to. And so I would trust that as Christians then, we will always stand on the Word of God. This ruling comes from people who really have no regard for what the Word of God says. They're looking at it from a constitutional standpoint, from an opinion standpoint, as they interpret the Constitution. But we don't live by the Constitution. Again, we live by the Word of God. If there are things in the Constitution that would conform to the Word of God, yes, we go by that. But when something happens that go outside of the Word of God, then we must live by the Word of God. And so there, from that ruling, there is in somewhat an assault, if you will, on the righteous people of God. And this is what David was faced with when he wrote this psalm, Psalms 11. That was an assault on the righteous. The words of the psalms are ascribed, of course, to David as he expresses his great trust in the Almighty God in the midst of his adversity. His adverse circumstances were heaped upon him by those who were wicked, those who would assault him. They had no regard for God and his way. That's why they were wicked. Therefore, they spoke words of derision toward David. Again, Psalms chapter 1, let me reread three verses. In the Lord, reading from the King James Version, David says, put I my trust. And then he says this to those who were speaking against him. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string. This is the wicked talking, of course, to David that he's responding to. That they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. Then they say this, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? They were actually saying to David that things are shaky for you. What are you going to lean on now? Things are shaky for you if the foundations be destroyed. There are those today, again, who have no regard for God's way, just as the wicked in David's day. And they do the same to God-fearing people. They attempt to say that we base our faith and our practice what we base, I should say, what we base our faith and our practice upon is outdated, is unacceptable even by God. And so we have nothing then to support our stand for righteousness. But I say to all of the faithful here this morning, let us never stop standing and building on and defending the foundation of truth. Again, they said to David, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I say to us this morning that there is no doubt that the foundations are being tampered with, but they'll never be destroyed. They are being tampered with, but they certainly will not be destroyed. The home, the foundation of the home is being tampered with. Biblical principles are disregarded. All kinds of things are going on in the home relationship. Divorce, remarriage for any cause. Single parents' homes no longer discouraged. All kinds of things are going on in the home relationship. Husbands not assuming their God-given role. Wives not being submissive to their husbands. Children not respecting their parents. Parents even, in some cases, not respecting the children. And speaking about children, did you just read or hear just the other day up in Elkmont, where a teenage boy has a beef with his mother. And so what does he do? He go out and kill chickens every 15 minutes because he has a beef with his mother. Can you imagine that? Going on. That's a home situation going on. So there are all kinds of things going on in the home, but the foundation of the home is going to stand solid. We've just got to build on that foundation. Because the foundational principle of the home is found in Psalms 127 in verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. That foundation will still be there, even though people don't behave as they ought to in the home. The foundation is still there, but it's being tampered with. In society, the foundation is being tampered with. Tolerance is the name of the game today. Almost everything goes. Everyone has a right to do everything or anything they want to. Breakdown in the morals. Well, I want to say to us this morning, you can't legislate morality. And that's what they've just tried to do. Legislate morality. But you can't legislate morality. Morality is based upon the principles of God. The foundation still stands for morality because the Word of God says in Proverbs 14 and verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That foundational principle is still there, even though it's being tampered with. Even in the church, there are those who champion for change. They call it the new interpretation, the new age. They are becoming dissatisfied with the principles of God, and so they want to change. Some are more concerned about pleasing themselves rather than God. Worship services are being corrupted. But that foundational principle for the church still remains because it's built upon the foundation, not of what individuals want, but upon what the Lord wants. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 11. Paul says, no other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ will never be destroyed. He is the foundation of the principles that the church must live by. He will never be destroyed. Isaiah 28, verse 16 through 17, talks about him being that sure foundation. The The foundations are still there. But so many are just like people in the days of Jeremiah, still refuse to build their lives upon the foundational principles. Jeremiah said in the long ago in Jeremiah chapter 6, in verse number 16, he says, "Stand ye in the ways and see. Ask for the old path, where is the good way? When you find it," he says, "walk therein, and you will find rest for your souls." The foundational principles, Jeremiah says, are in the old path. They are in what God has to say. But notice what the people said. They said, "We will not walk therein." People today, again, who has no regard for the word of God, they're saying, "We don't care what you righteous folks say the word of God says. We're not going to abide by that." I would say to us, God is still on the throne, and we must abide by the word of God. The foundations are still there, as I've said, but so many refuse to build their lives upon them. Well, let's take the question that the wicked threw at David. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So in view of all that is going on in our society, in the home, in society, in the church, in view of that, what can the righteous do? Well, I want to suggest to us this morning that there are some things that the righteous can do and still should do. Number one, when we go back to Psalms 11 in verse 4, David then begins to answer what the wicked ones were throwing at him. David says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men." David was recognizing, as we need to continue to recognize, in spite of what others may say and what others may do and what other ruling may come down that disregard the word of God, we need to recognize that God is still in charge. I need to say that again. God is still in charge. David says, "The Lord is in his holy temple." God is in charge, and God will remain in charge, even though these things go on. He's still in charge. He has not and he will not change. Malachi 3 and verse number 6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Do you believe that? God will never change. His word will never change. It's going to be with us until the end. God is in his holy temple. But sometimes, because these things go on, one might mistake that God is not in charge, because, as Brother Dennis said this morning in Sunday school, making a comment that God doesn't zap people, and Brother Lewis used to use that term in his lifetime, God doesn't zap people right on the spot like he used to. Sometimes people think that God is not in charge. They mistake God's silence in acting, as they term it, for his acceptance or his not being in charge. The psalmist had something to say about that also. Psalms 50 and verse number 16 beginning, he says, "But unto the wicked, God says." Notice what David talked about in Psalms 11, what the wicked was saying to him. So he says again here, "But unto the wicked, God says, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my word behind thee. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou givest thy mouth to evil and thy tongue framest deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thy mother's son." Then verse number 21, he says this, "These things hast thou done? And I kept silent. Thou thoughtest, he says, that I was what? Altogether such a one as thyself. God says there through the psalmist's pen that because all of these wicked things are going on, things that are against my will and against my law, I didn't say anything. I kept silent. You thought I was just like you. You thought I was just like you. In other words, because you accepted it, you thought I'm accepting it. But notice what he says here. But. That but indicate I don't accept that. Even though I'm keeping silent, I don't accept that. You see, another statement was made in the Bible class talking about righteousness and wickedness. May not have been said like this, but they just don't go together. God is a righteous God. God will never accept anything that's wicked or anything that is against his will because he's a righteous God. So he says, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before my eyes. Oh, we need to understand again that God is still in control. He's still in control. He knows what's going on. He knows that that wasn't the right thing to rule. But he's keeping silent. But one day, things are going to be made right in his sight. So he says, he goes on in this passage, he says, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. So don't mistake God's silence because he's not zapping folks dead on the spot, that he's pleased with what's going on that's contrary to his will. God will not change. And since God will not change, his word will not change. Psalms 119, verse 89, the Bible says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. His word will not change, and not only will it not change, but it will not pass away. Mark 13, in verse number 31, Jesus says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And so what God said concerning what has been ruled in our day and time as being all right, God has already, long time ago, condemned that kind of lifestyle. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse number 13, he condemned that type of lifestyle. He condemned that type of lifestyle. He said in that passage that a man should not lie with a man as lying with a woman. What is he talking about? Homosexuality. But yet they say it's all right. It's all right for that to happen. He said it is an abomination. God detests that. God hates that. His word said that that's a sin. Then in Romans chapter 1, verses 26 through 28, Paul says that it is still a sin. He says that that kind of stuff is against nature. And when one participates in that kind of stuff, he said, God gives them up to a reprobate mind to do those things that are not convenient. He's not going to stop them. He's not going to stop them. He didn't stop them from ruining it. He's not going to stop them from engaging in it. But the punishment is going to come because it's an abomination. His word has not changed. It still reads the same. So one thing the righteous can do, the righteous can recognize, and I'm encouraging us to recognize, that God is still in control. He still knows what's going on. He's still in control. He hasn't left the throne because all of that kind of thing is going on. But then David said this in the very first verse. David says in Psalms 11 and verse number 1, the first part of that verse, before he started talking about what the wicked said to him, he says, I will what? In the Lord put I my trust. If we recognize that God is still in control, then I'm saying to us this morning to still put our trust and our confidence in God. Don't allow these current events that goes on, not only that, but other things that goes on that's against God's word and God's will and God's way. Don't allow these things to distract us, to cause us not to believe and trust in God anymore. Sometimes that can become a distraction to us. And the devil would love for us to give up on God. Because so much things are going on, not only homosexuality, but violence everywhere in the land, as we've just witnessed in one of our sister states, and as you witness and know about, that happens all over the world. Violence is going on, and evil and wickedness is everywhere. I'm saying to you this morning, don't give up on God. Because God is still faithful. God doesn't intervene again and stop man from all of his sinfulness. He allows all this to go on, but he's still God. And we need to still trust in God. And so David is saying, basically, I don't care what you say to me, wicked. I mean, to me, wicked person. I don't care what you say to me. Yes, you can speak these words of derision to me, but I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. And I would say to us this morning, continue to trust in the Lord. That was a statement in one of our lessons, the last lesson in the adult Bible class lesson. The title of that lesson, on yesterday, that is, the title of that lesson was Focus in the Midst of Distraction. And that was a statement made on one of the pages there that says, the circumstances don't matter. The presence of God matters. And that's what we need to realize, that the circumstances really don't matter. It's the presence of God that matters. It's to know that even in these circumstances, God is still present, and he will still be on our side if we stay on his side. So again, we need to look outside of the circumstances and see God's presence still in us. And so then, we need to focus on him and his will for our lives. Keep our eyes, as the New International Version says, as it renders the verse in Hebrews 12 and verse number 2, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Continue to trust in the Lord. The righteous can do that while they are tampering with the foundations. We can still put our trust in the Lord. And another thing the righteous can do while they are tampering at these foundations, trying to destroy them, we need to realize that man's way will never be God's way. It will never be God's way. Why? Because the Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 89, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But you know the sad thing about that? Man thinks that his ways are just right. Proverbs 21 and verse 2 says, every way, not some way, a few ways. But he said every way of man is right in his own eyes. And so many people will look at what has just come down. Those who look at it and want to sanction that kind of thing, they say, oh, it's just the right thing to do. As some of them would say, oh, we've just been waiting for this day to come. It's the right thing to do. Why? Because it's right in their own eyes. But it's not right in the sight of God. So man's way will never be what God's way is. We need to beware of Satan's devices. You see, he entices man to think that he has a better way, or at least as good a way, a way as good as God. We need to be aware of that. But we need to be like the apostles were in the New Testament times. In Acts chapter 5, verse 27 through 29. The Bible says this concerning the apostles. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. And so that's my point. That's my point of this lesson, is that we've got to stand on what God's will is, not what man's will is. We must obey God rather than man. Because after all, the Bible says, there is one lawgiver. And that lawgiver, the Bible says, is the Lord. One lawgiver. James 4 and verse number 12. Isaiah 33 and verse 22 says that lawgiver is the Lord. So we have one lawgiver. So if we want to be pleasing in his sight, then we've got to submit to his law. And again, when man's law contradicts God's law, then we ought to obey God rather than man. So what can the righteous do? The righteous then can know that man's will never be God's will or never be God's way. Realizing then that there's one lawgiver and that we ought to obey God rather than man, we can continue and need to continue to teach one another, and especially teach our young people, because they are being influenced so much by this stuff. We need to continue to teach our young people, our children, so that they won't be deceived and think that this is all right too. Moses' command to the people of Israel in the law that came from God is still just as applicable today as it was then. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. Moses said to the people of God back in that day and time, that I want you, he says, to these things that I command you this day, to be in your heart. What are you saying, Moses? What are you saying, Lord? I want these things that I'm going to teach you and what I have taught you, I want them to be in your heart. I want them to become a part of your life. In other words, when I say that kind of lifestyle, homosexuality that is an abomination, I want you to believe that, because that's what I said. So you need to believe, we need to believe that that's an abomination. And we need to get that in our heart so that we can teach our children, our young people, and others that we come in contact, that that kind of stuff, that kind of lifestyle, God detests. It is a sin before the everlasting God. So he said, I want them to be in your heart. Now, once you get them in your heart, then I want you to do something with it. He says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And then he goes on and talks about put them on the gateposts and let it be a sign, post for you. In other words, I want you to constantly teach your young children, your young people, I want you to constantly teach them what my will is and what my law is. So we need to continue to teach one another, and especially continue to teach our young folks, so that they will not be influenced by this stuff. So young folks, young people, young girl, when another young girl start looking at you funny, you need to know that ain't the right kind of way to look at me. Young boys, when another young boy started looking at you funny, you need to know that's not the right kind of way to look at you. We need to teach them so they'll know this. Somebody said, oh, well, they are teaching in our civic class now that this law is all right. Well, that law is man's law. But God's law says it's all wrong. And we need to keep that before the minds of our young people. But even more than that, what can the righteous do? The righteous need to continue to show love to those who would try to destroy the foundations and teach them about God's way and God's mercy and God's forgiveness. So if one has this tendency, then God can still help that individual if he changes or she changes her thought pattern and changes her mindset and changes her way. God can still use that individual. If they change their lifestyle, that's called repentance. We need to teach them, love them, teach them that God will still clean them up. He'll still be merciful unto them because he is a merciful and a forgiving God. Notice what Isaiah said again in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 7. He said, let the wicked do what? Forsake his way. And the unrighteous man his what? Thoughts. And let him do what? Return unto the Lord. And he'll have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, yes. God can help an individual with that persuasion. But they've got to do something. They've got to turn. They've got to forsake their way. And we need to love them and teach them that God wants to save all mankind. He doesn't want anybody to be lost. But in order to be pleasing and acceptable in his sight, you've got to turn from your way and turn to his way. That's called repentance again. He calls upon people to repent. Somebody said, can you get out of it? Can you repent from that? Of course you can. Some of the Corinthians did. You remember what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, down by verse number 9. Names them there. Says, such were some of you, but you were washed. You were justified. When is a person washed from their sins? When they repent and turn from their sins and turn to the Lord will clean them up and he'll accept them in his kingdom. But they got to turn. They can't rest on the solace or rest in the solace that the Supreme Court has given them. They got to turn from their way and turn to the Lord's way. Again, the Lord doesn't want anybody to be lost. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. They need to realize, teach them that God is, quote, silent, but in his silence, he's being patient. He's being loving, and he's being good, still being good to them and good to us. Not only that lifestyle, but any kind of sinful acts. He's still being good to people in their sins, but his goodness is for a purpose. Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4. The Bible says, or despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. You know why God is still good? Because he still wants folks to repent. That's why he hadn't wiped us out yet. Because he wants people to repent. Of whatever the sin is, as I've said, he wants people to repent. So he's long-suffering. But one day his long-suffering is going to run out. And we don't know when it's going to be for us. The world may go on another 100 years. But I won't be here another 100 years. Unless God give me some more time like he did Hezekiah. So when I leave this world and when you leave this world in death, that will be it for you, be it for me. And we don't know when that's going to be. So God is long-suffering, but we don't know when his long-suffering is going to run out. So yes, we teach them, we love them, And we teach them that God is a merciful and a forgiving God. But we also teach them the other side of God, that God is also not only merciful and not only loving and forgiving, but he's also a God of terror. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 11. Paul says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We need to teach them again that God is forgiving, God is loving, but God is also a God of terror. And one day God is going to rain down his vengeance on people who don't do his will. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 beginning, Paul says to those of you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. When people still think they can go on in their evil ways, whatever the sin is, they think they can continue to go on in it. They are not obeying the gospel or the will of God. God one day is going to rain down his vengeance on those. And they'll be forever, the Bible says, punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. So as we teach them, as we love them, we try to rein them in from that wicked lifestyle so that they won't have to spend eternity in a devil's hell. So again, what can the righteous do? There's so much that we as righteous people can do. Let's continue to do that. Let's continue to know that the Lord is still in control. Let's not just give it up and say, well, I just don't know what's going to happen yet, so I'm going to give it up. The Lord is still in control. Knowing that he's still in control, then let's keep on trusting him. Let's keep on trusting the Lord. And let's recognize again that man's way will never be God's way. But let's teach and love those who think that they're all right in the sight of God in the way they're living. Let them know that God loves them and we love them. But God is a just God, and righteousness will never mix with unrighteousness. So in order to see God's face in peace, they got to let the wickedness go or the unrighteousness go and become a righteous person. And the last thing that the righteous can do is found in Psalms chapter 11, verse 6 through 7. The Bible says there, upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone. Isn't that what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Y'all remember reading that? Go back there and read it, and you'll see the same thing happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And in horrible tempest, this shall be the portion of their cup. I don't want to drink out of that cup, do you? That's a bitter cup. You're talking about a bitter cup. That's a bitter cup. But then he says in the next passage, for the righteous, Lord loveth righteousness. Righteousness simply means doing that which is right according to the will of God. The righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance does behold the upright. God will bless us. God will be with us. God will stand by our side when we are righteous people. There's so much the righteous can do. In spite of what we witness, and in spite of what we witness from day to day, in either in other areas of life and in society, the righteous again can find comfort in knowing that God will still be with us when we continue to do his will. So as I close in this morning, let us remember that God's ways are always right. And it would do us good to always follow God's word and God's will. Only then can we escape the wrath that will come to the disobedient. And so, this morning, there may be some here who stands a guilty distance from God. You may not be caught up in this kind of thing that we've talked about this morning, homosexuality. But if you're caught up, if you are caught up in that, certainly you need to turn away from it. But you may be caught up in some other sin, some other unrighteousness. You're caught up in some other unrighteousness. The only way to get cleaned up from that unrighteousness is to turn to God. And if you have not obeyed the Lord, then you need to do that this morning. If you are not a member of His church, you need to hear and believe the gospel. Repent of your past sins. Confess your faith in Christ Jesus. Then go down in a water grave of baptism for the remission of your sins. And when you do that, the Lord will add you to His church. Becoming a member of His church, then continue to live a righteous life before God. And in the end, you can be saved. If you're here this morning, and you're a member of the body of Christ, but somehow you're walking contrary to the will of God, realize again that God's righteousness will never mix with unrighteousness. So what you got to do, you got to get out of your unrighteousness through repentance and coming back to God. If you're here this morning and just need prayer, we'll encourage you to let it be made known. But you come to the Lord before it's everlasting and eternally too late. So David was not worried about what the wicked was throwing at him. David says, I'm going to trust in the Lord because I know He's still in His holy temple. And He's still looking at and beholding the eyes of men and the eyes of children. He knows what's going on. I'm going to stay with the Lord. If I stay with the Lord, I'll be blessed. So I would encourage us to stay with the Lord. Get with the Lord and stay with the Lord. And no matter what kind of ruling, whatever ruling may come down. You know, you're reading some of the comments. What's going to be next? You know. They may rule that is legal. You know, if a 50-year-old man, Brother William, loves a 60-year-old boy, it's all right for them. They may rule that. But that's not what God says. God says, do His will. Let's stay with God. But you come to the Lord this morning then if you need to. While mercy lingers and while heaven waits, and while we're standing, while we're singing, would you come? Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the portal. I am the prey. Would you come?